There's an important question at the heart of the passage that we are going to look at here today. Is the message of Jesus a divine reality, or is it actually something that people have made up? Like, is this whole story of sin and forgiveness something that people just made up like a couple thousand years ago, or is this truly describing a God-given and God-created truth? The passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning answers that question. So I would ask you to join me in 1 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 13. So 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We're actually going to focus all of our attention on that verse today because it tells us something very important about the message that is at the heart of our faith as believers and followers of Jesus. So, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul is thinking back to that time when he was in Thessalonica with Jason and Ricky and Secundus. He and Silas are telling the people in Thessalonica about this crucified and risen Savior. And they say, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Paul ultimately wants us to know three things in that passage, right? The word of God is not man-made. The word of God is, in fact, God's word. The word of God is at work in all who believe. The word of God is not man-made. The word of God is God's word. The word of God is at work in all who believe. Those are three ideas that I'd like to unpack with you. But before we get to that, I think there's an even more basic question that we need to ask. That is, what does Paul mean when he says the word of God? Because let me be completely honest with you. When I was setting up this series, I was just thinking that the Word of God meant the Bible. And so in my mind, I was fine focusing on one verse because I thought I was going to bring in all sorts of other passages about the Bible. Because why? Well, the Word of God is the Bible is the Word of God. Again and again, the Bible says this is the Word of God. And it truly is. The Bible is not man-made. The Bible is God's word. So I really thought that I was going to be talking to you about the Bible this morning. But when I got deeper into this verse, it struck me that Paul's not specifically talking about the Bible here. I mean, certainly you can apply these things to the Bible, and certainly we should apply what he says here to the Bible. But when Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian people, he wasn't talking about the Bible. I mean, the Bible, as we know it, didn't even exist at that point. He was practically in the midst of writing it. So what does he mean? What does he mean by the Word of God? One hint is the way that Paul talks about this word, right? He says, you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. Well, the implication is then that the Word of God is something that you hear in this case. It's something that you listen to and you respond to, okay? There's another hint in the book of Acts. If you recall Acts 17, it tells us that Paul and Silas declared the word, declared the gospel to the people of Thessalonica. The Thessalonican leadership got angry and kicked Paul and Silas out of the city. Paul and Silas went down the road to Berea, where they found people who were much more open to the gospel. But then, guess what? Wouldn't you know it, the people back in Thessalonica who got mad at them in Thessalonica, heard out they were talking in Berea, and went down the road and caused trouble for them in Berea too. Man, like, not just kick you out of our town, but follow you down the road and kick you out of the next town. What I really want to say, though, is that in Acts 17, they were preaching in Berea, and Acts 17, 13 says, when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too. So Paul is preaching or proclaiming the Word of God as he did in Thessalonica. What was he doing there? He was presenting the gospel. He was presenting a crucified and risen Savior who died to restore people to God. And actually, if you go through it, Acts 11, Acts 12, Acts 13, Acts 17, Acts 18, all describe Paul and Silas and others proclaiming the Word of God. And when they say Word of God, it is the message of Jesus. So when Paul says to the Thessalonians that they heard the Word of God, he is saying that they heard this reality, that God came in the person of his Son to die for sin, to redeem humanity, to bring them back to God. And so I think that in our heads we can say, when Paul says Word of God here, he's saying the gospel, or the message of Jesus, or the fact that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's the Word of God here. So, to bring it back to our passage, Paul says three things about this message, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. One, not man-made. Two, yeah, God-made. Three, it's at work in all who believe. Let me take those one at a time. First, the Word of God is not man-made. The message of Jesus is not made up. Frankly, if I was going to make up a message and try to find followers, I would make it way less humbling and way more appealing than Christianity. Because, look it, we follow a crucified Savior who wins by losing. Right? We have to humble ourselves and admit that we need him. Our hero died on a cross and says, in this life, you will find trouble. If I was going to make up a word from God, I would make it way different than the gospel that we proclaim. It would be a lot more like, you know, the message of prosperity gospel preachers that you hear today. Like, man, if you would just give to my ministry, then God will bless you. God will bless you the way that he has blessed me with fancy clothes and my numerous jets and my mansion. That's an easy message to get behind, right? Paul, in this letter, acknowledges that there were people like that in his day. People who were trying to get their hands in people's pockets, in their wallets, frankly. They're trying to gain followers and make money by means of flattery or greed or impure motives. I mean, that's chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. And Paul points out that by presenting this message, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, he is suffering insults. He is suffering real mortal danger. He's gotten kicked out of town at least twice. People are following him around, causing trouble for him. If the message that Paul was presenting was man-made, and it was causing him this much trouble, don't you think he would have changed the message? He didn't, though, because frankly, it wasn't his to change. The Word of God is not man-made. The Word of God is God's Word. And you can see that even from the experience of the Christians in Thessalonica. Think back to Acts 17. How did Paul introduce the Thessalonian people to this message of Jesus? Not by saying, hey guys, I just created something. He took them back to the Old Testament and said, look it, this has been planned and pointed to and intended for couple thousand years. Paul's saying, I'm not creating something new here. I am simply showing you that God has kept his promise to redeem people, to be a blessing to the nations. And the letter Paul wrote here, think back to last week, or even look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Paul says, our gospel, the message of Jesus, our gospel, the Word of God, came simply with words and power and with Holy Spirit and conviction. Like, if this was a man-made message, the message would rely entirely upon Paul's ability as a showman, his charisma, his ability to speak to people and prey on their vulnerabilities and their desires. But the message that Paul proclaimed came with this supernatural power, this Holy Spirit power that gripped people's hearts and convinced them that they were truly hearing from God. God's own word. They are words that God himself speaks into our hearts. So the word of God, the gospel, the message of Jesus, this is God's word to us. Now, I'm going to assume that I have not said anything too groundbreaking in the last 10 or so minutes. Right? I suspect that probably each and every one of you could have told me what I just told you 10 minutes ago. But Paul takes it one step further here that I think is an important step for us to think about and consider. And maybe this is the first time you'll ever consider it. The word of God is at work in those who believe. Remember, the message of Jesus is at work in those of you who believe it. You ever stop to think about that? The message, the truth of God himself coming into the world to work in your heart is at work in your heart. You know, I think that probably our instinct is to think of the gospel as a story, right? It's kind of like the origin story for our faith, where we hear the message, we decide whether or not we want to respond to it, we do, and then it just becomes chapter one in the story of our lives. But Paul is saying, no, it's not just a story that describes where we came from, it is a power that motivates us and moves us and empowers us as we live as believers. Jeffrey Wima, one of the commentators I read this week, says much more than a fancy human message that catches our fleeting attention for one brief moment in time, the gospel instead is an ongoing source of divine power continuously at work in the lives of believing Christians. The gospel is not just a story, it is a force at work in us. What does that look like? What happens when the gospel force is working in us? Well, I think we see hints of it in chapter 1, verse 5. Remember, the good news came with power and the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. Verse 9, it enabled the Thessalonians to turn from idols to serve the living God. That was God's word at work in them, showing them that, yes, this sin stuff is real and needs to be taken seriously. And yes, it's an issue that applies to them. And yes, Jesus did, in fact, die to redeem that sin and to win us back for God. If you have chosen to follow Jesus, it's because the gospel worked in you. The Holy Spirit worked in connection with the gospel to enable you to take hold of that. So the gospel of Jesus works in one way by bringing us to faith. Another is by helping us to live in light of it. 1 verse 3, their work produced by faith, their labor produced by love, their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus. Again, that was the word of God at work in them, reminding them who they had faith in, reminding them how much they were loved, reminding them of the great hope for eternity that they have in Jesus, and motivating them to do something about it, labors of love and endurance. So the word of God is not the word of man. The word of God is God's word, and the word of God is at work in you. Okay, so what do we do about it? How do we live in light of this? If you have chosen to follow Jesus, then the message of Jesus is at work in you. Paul just told us that. God's word told us that. What do we do about it? Well, on one hand, I kind of think you don't do anything about it. The word of God works alongside the Holy Spirit, I think unconsciously, in our hearts as believers. Like, the message of Jesus is at work in you to shift your mind from thinking like an individual, self-centered, capitalist person to thinking more like a corporate, God-centered, spiritual person. The word of God at work in us sanctifies us and nudges us and reminds us, this is how you live as a follower of Jesus, or that's not how you live as a follower of Jesus. The Word of God at work in us helps us to stand up under persecution. It just does it. The very next verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, says, I know that the Word of God is at work in you because you've faced this persecution with perseverance. In a way, I think that the Word of God in us works kind of like medicine. Like, when I have a headache, I take a couple of Tylenol, and then I don't sit and think about the Tylenol working. I don't sit there and will the Tylenol to do what it does. It just does. And I think there's a sense in which the message of Jesus does that in us. It reorders our paradigms and shifts the way that we see the world. That being said, I think that we can participate with the Word of God at work in us. We should, in fact, participate with the Word of God at work in us. A couple of ways. First is simply to realize that the Word of God is at work in you. Like, the message of Jesus is at work in you as an active force with the Holy Spirit. And that is going to help you as a follower of Jesus to shine a light, to be a presence for God in the world. Again, let me be completely honest with you. When I am sitting in a hospice room, when somebody asks me why you have faith in this Jesus, when I prepare to get up here and talk to you every Sunday morning, I don't know what I'm going to say. This goes well beyond Graham Gladstone's capacity to speak profoundly. But I need to consciously, and I do consciously remind myself, I'm not alone in this. The Word of God at work in me has shaped my intellectual framework, my worldview, and I'm going to act out of that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to say what I need to say when it needs to be said. That's the same for you, too. Just think to yourself, Holy Spirit, take hold of the Word of God at work in me and give me the words that I need in this moment. He will. What you say will be what needs to be said by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one, just be aware that the Word of God in combination with the Holy Spirit is at work in you. But let's be honest, it's one thing to recognize, oh, the Word of God is at work in me. It's another thing to do something about it. And so here's the second part of it. Partner with the Word of God at work in you. Here's the picture in my mind. I always thought this was so cool. Our tractor at home has a power takeoff on the back of it. And so when you start it up, there's this little nub at the back that starts spinning. You know what a power takeoff is, right? I'm sure many of us, yeah. So it's this, what do you call it? A drive shaft coming out of the back of the tractor. You turn it on, and it turns and turns and turns and turns. That's just what it is. It's a drive shaft. Power takeoff. However, unless you connect it to something, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to be turning and turning and turning and turning. It's at work. But you need to connect the drive shaft to it and connect that to an implement so that you can cut stalks or spread manure or whatever it is that you're going to do with that PTO. I think we need to connect to the power of the message of Jesus at work in our hearts. How do we do that? Well, I think part of it is providing the written word so that the spoken word of Jesus has something to work with, right? When we spend time with the written word of God, it partners with the spoken word of God to help us to become more like the person word of God, who is Jesus. So, again and again and again, spend time daily with your Bible because it will shape you. How else do we partner? We have to consciously decide, I think, from time to time to actually put into action what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts. You know, it's one... people say I'm not supposed to tell stories about my kids, let's just say there was a conversation about patience at the table last night, someone had learned to be patient, but did not want to actually be patient, and it wasn't Ben. That is just a fascinating little, like, yeah, I know how to be patient, but I'm not gonna be patient. The word at work in you is making you patient, but you gotta actually partner with it to do that, to live that out. Partner with the word of God at work in you. Connect to it. Know that it's at work at you. The message of Jesus is going to shape you if you let it. That word is not man-made. It is God's word, and it is at work in you. Let the message of Jesus be at work in you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the many, many ways that you speak into our lives and our hearts. I just very briefly mentioned it a minute ago, but the reality is, in the Bible, the Word of God is at least three things. One, it is Jesus, right? The Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, you are the living Word of God that speaks to us and moves in us. And then there is the Word of God, the gospel message that says that this Jesus came to make us new. And then there is the written Word, which copies down everything about the spoken Word and the living Word that we need to know, that it might shape us and lead us and guide us. So Lord, we thank you for your Word, which is not some imaginary made-up thing, but in fact, your very mind and heart revealed to us. Not only that, it is your mind and heart for us, and your Spirit empowering to us to live in light of it. So one, we thank you for your word. And two, we pray that you will help us to partner with that word at work in us. Help us to be aware when we don't know what to say, that you're going to provide the words. Lord, give us this desire to read your word, that our worldview might become more and more like your worldview, to see the world with fairness and grace and justice and holiness and beauty. Lord, I pray that you will make us less and less like the world around us, and more like the perfect world that you created in the beginning, like the perfect people that you made us into at the beginning. Thank you for your unfailing love for us, Lord. Thank you for your continuing work in us and your never failing presence with us. We pray that you will help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we respond.